This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
This is the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and we are back with Season 5, Episode 37. As the All-Star break has come to an end, and we are now approaching mid-February. The trade deadline is looming. Big trades around the league already. And the New York Rangers find themselves in a unique spot in terms of trade rumors and just positioning in the standings and players like Kako and Lindgren, and you don't know who's on their way out. So for a team that sits on top of the standings, Andy, before I ask you how you doing, I don't feel like we're sitting on top of the standings. I almost feel like we're a cusp team, and we're trying to figure out how far in we want to go in this trade deadline. So I guess I have to ask you first, though. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. I'm happy that enough time has gone. We had spoken about how just sick of the Rangers we were, and that was a much needed break from New York Rangers hockey. Especially, they needed a hard reset. I think their fans needed a hard reset. Obviously, Chris Drury needed some time to assess what's going on out there and make some determinations about this group. So you have to imagine there's been a lot of that for him this week, seeing what's out there, probably taking a hard look at its roster, and just kind of assessing where they're at, what they need, what type of assets to go after or pieces. And so, yeah, that week has come and gone. And the Rangers are back at it tomorrow night at the Garden versus the Avalanche, correct? So,
yeah.
And obviously two of our players and the coach got to take a little jaunt to Toronto for the All-Star game. And it seemed to go well for them, both Trocheck and Shesterkin were on the winning team, and Shesterkin particularly had some, even though it was all just kind of a low stakes thing, there seemed to be some competitive fire to this one this year. I think the NHL actually kind of got it right as far as the games go and the shootout competition and all those sorts of things. And Shesterkin was huge and had a good performance that helped kind of propel his team to get the W. So hopefully he can bottle some of that confidence going forward, you know, because I'm sure depending on how the season's gone so far and him going there, it definitely had to be a little bit of imposter syndrome going on compared to his previous, you know, performance. But, you know, he had a good performance, and there seemed to be a little bit of a competitive little competitive fires going in this year's All-Star game. So the NHL, whatever they did, it worked to some extent. So it's almost like I said, hard reset. Starting tomorrow, it's the second leg of the year, and you'll have to see if that time off has had any effect on this team.
Yeah, and in terms of the All-Star game, I guess, you know, when you remove Vegas and South Beach from the equation and it's just cold Toronto, the players don't mind being on the ice as much. So, yeah, I guess it was successful. I didn't really get to watch much. The only comment I'll make is that the jersey seemed a little bit better when players are wearing them, which seems to be the case a lot of the times. But other than that, you know, All-Star game was the All-Star game. It's pretty irrelevant. I mean, obviously, the Bublé thing is pretty funny. The Kucherov thing, I know some people just can't stand the guy. It is what it is. Like, it's the All-Star game. You know, it's already been a mockery the past few years. So, you know, if guys want to act like buffoons, whatever. Anyway, but back to reality, Andy. Picking up against a team, the Colorado Avalanche, who, you know, just keep plugging along. And, you know, they're an unsexy pick to come out of the West. But I think, you know, they're certainly a team that has good odds to do so. And that is going to be a huge test for the New York Rangers. I mean, if they come, you know, out of the gate here, fired up and get a win against the Colorado Avalanche, I think that will put a lot of the nerves, you know, that'll calm the nerves a little bit and make people, you know, re-believe in this hockey team. Because other than that, you know, the Rangers, it's not about, you know, climbing the standings and getting right. It's, you know, instill that belief that you had, you know, just 2 months ago. You know, where is that? Where's that fire? Where's that, you know, energy? Where's that urgency? And, you know, the New York Rangers are going to have to earn that back, you know, especially within the fan base and themselves. You know, I feel like, you know, they're kind of woe is me and down on themselves and, you know, fall quickly in hockey games and don't have the will or energy to crawl back. So, you know, if the Rangers here, Andy, get blown out of the water against the Colorado team, which can happen. I mean, they're that good. Are you gonna go right back to square one where you were, you know, before the All-Star break?
No, because I think any team in the National Hockey League can, especially if it's a team that has Nathan MacKinnon on, who's one of the best players in the league this year.
He's been on fire.
Yeah, and listen, Georgiev has been inconsistent this year, but he always seems to have a chip on his shoulder when he plays the Rangers. You know what I mean? So it depends. On who knows who is going to get the start. They might give Quick the start if Igor's traveling from the All-Star game. You know what I mean? So it's more about the trend I see. You know what I mean? If, you know, if you drop your first game, I think if they show nothing, then yeah, I'll be concerned. But if it's kind of just a competitive game that then they kind of get edged out by the Avalanche, no, I don't think I'll freak out. You know what I mean? But you just have to, I think you at least want to see a little bit more. I think for me, what I'm looking for is structure. Cause I look at this group and it's not a surprise to me that they're having trouble struggling to score goals 5-on-5 based on the talent they have in their lineup, or at least their forward core. You know what I mean? So if it's like, okay, yeah, the Panarin line scores one, Mika or Kreider gets one on the power play, and they lose the game 4-2, one of which being an empty net, I'm not surprised with that outcome. You know what I mean? And you have to imagine Chris Drury is trying to figure that element, the scoring element 5-on-5 out for the trade deadline. So that would not concern me. That was just like, okay, I knew this. This is not new information. Obviously bad goaltending, stupid breakdowns. And I think I think what's been more frustrating is that for years we've seen the Rangers beat their goaltender, be under barrage and have to save their bacon. And this hasn't really been that. For the most part, it's just that their overall number of chances against the Rangers, I think, are down. But they just give up these huge ones that they wouldn't give up before. Like they would be basically hemmed in their own zone, not able to clear the puck, but they'd be trying to defend their damnedest. They just couldn't, you know, but at the same, they try to force things to the outside and Hank or Igor or whoever would have to make a bunch of saves. But this one, it's like, it's really, like you said, it's not the amount. It's just how loud the ones they do give up are and just where they do it. Just turnover. Literally everyone's flying the zone. What should be an easy dump is picked off because they don't get enough on the air on the puck or whatever, or just make us ill-advised try to behind the back pass or just dumb things like that. You know what I mean? So I think that'll be more concerning, but it's losing, you know, it'll be more how they lose than if they lose, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. You know, they're starting back at home, which I think is all good for them. I see what you're saying, but you know, for me, I think it's important for them to get a win, put themselves at ease, put the fan base at ease, and you know, getting a win against the Colorado team, you know, would be, you know, a huge boost of confidence to go into, you know, the rest of the season. And it's going to be tough, man. The New York Rangers are sitting now with 63 points, 49 games played. The Carolina Hurricanes are right at their heels with 48 games played and 61 points. So point percentage wise, they're right there neck and neck. And, you know, the Hurricanes don't seem to be, you know, slowing down any bit. You know, I think you can make a case that, you know, the Philadelphia Flyers lost 5 in a row. They're kind of slowed down a little bit. And then, you know, the rest of the teams that are in the Metro, you know, I don't really believe in them right now. You know, the New York Islanders still
suck.
They stink. Pittsburgh sucks. The Devils, every time you think that they're going to turn it around, I mean, you know, they just need Hughes back if they have it, if they want a chance at the playoffs. And Washington's really just fallen off the cliff. So, yeah, it's really a two-team race.
I have a question for you, James.
Sure.
Is the Metro, based on what we've seen, is the Metro the worst conference in the, or worst division in the league right now?
Yeah, which is kind of
crazy. Or do you think it's more, because obviously, the West is pretty strong. The six top teams in the West are all powerhouses, essentially. Vancouver, the Edmonton Oilers. Sorry, this is an early podcast for me and James, so I'm not as sharp as I usually am. But Vancouver, Vegas, the Oilers, the Avalanche, the Stars, and the Jets they're honestly among the six best teams in the league, probably. And when I look at the top teams in the East, between, you know, the Maple Leafs, although they're in the wildcard spot right now, the Bruins and the Panthers and Tampa and the Rangers and Carolina, I'm not saying one of those teams can't go on a run, because obviously one of them will make the Stanley Cup final, but they're nowhere near as good as their counterparts in the West. And at least, you know, Panthers, they did it last year. They're in second place in the Atlantic. They could easily find themselves back there again. Tampa has been, they're so well coached that despite losing talent, I don't think they're going to make it to the Cup final, but they're just still a solid team that are well coached. And obviously Boston, same thing, but not really that afraid of them. I just don't think they're, you know, it's just no one in that is that good. But that being said, looking at least, yeah, I think the Atlantic's better than the Metro, because the two teams in the wild card right now are Atlantic teams. So, it's been a while since the Metro was the shittiest division in the NHL, but here we are.
Well, last year was borderline the best division in the NHL.
I know.
It's just wild how, you know,
the swings.
Yeah. And
I do think that, as with the way the league is now, I think you're going to see these crazy swings from year to year more and more, if that makes any sense. Like, I think there'll be a lot of like teams that are in, then they're out, and then they go far, and then they might miss. Like, it just kind of seems like the parity swings are a lot heavier. You know what I mean?
Definitely. And, you know, I also think too that, you know, a lot of these teams, if one or two injuries and all of a sudden the makeup of the team is just completely different. I mean, look at the Devils as they were last year. I mean, number one, huge coaching change. Number two, Jack Hughes has been hurt, you know, on and off all year long. Nico's been hurt. Timo Meier's been hurt. It's like Dougie Hamilton's hurt. It's just like the New Jersey Devils are just not the same team anymore. Pittsburgh's another year older. Washington Capitals, you know, were one of the best teams in the league to start the season, and now they're one of the worst teams in the league. You know, and then the New York Islanders, who, you know, got in barely, you know, started the season off. It was really promising that they might make the playoffs again, and, you know, they just can't seem to get out of their own way, and just the age and the game's just, you know, too fast for them now, and they're just losing steam. You know, if it's not for the Flyers, you know, that bottom spot in the Metro is going to be pretty wild to see, you know, who, you know, takes that run, because, you know, you would think that the Devils would figure it out and be a shoo-in for that spot. But I don't know, man, they really stink this year. It's crazy. I mean, I'm enjoying it, but it really is something to watch. But you're absolutely right. I mean, if you look at, I mean, I think it's, well, I'd give the Central probably the best overall division. I mean, if you go just down the line, Colorado, Dallas, Winnipeg, St. Louis, and like now the middle bunch, I think is just more elite than any other division's middle bunch, with St. Louis, Nashville, Arizona, Minnesota. Chicago's really the only quote unquote weak team. And then, you know, even the Pacific is just, you know, except for maybe the Sharks and the Ducks, every other team, you know, you could see hypothetically making a run and making the playoffs. So, yeah, again, man, the New York Rangers and the Carolina Hurricanes are going to be neck and neck. And the Rangers don't figure it out, it's going to be a one-team race for the top spot. And like I said, man, there is a good chance that the second wild card spot, or even the first and second wild card spots, finish with more points than the third place Metro team. So maybe the good path in the playoffs is to drop to the second seed in the Metro, and you play Definitely. The weakest team in the playoffs. So it's not the worst thing in the world.
No, absolutely. I mean, because as it stands today, if the Rangers would play Detroit, which I think would be a good matchup for the Rangers, doesn't really scare me that all that much. But Toronto would be a scary matchup for the Rangers. You know what I mean? They would definitely overwhelm you with skill.
Rangers would end up playing right now. They'd play Toronto.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's right. They'd play Toronto. Yeah. So bad matchup. We don't want that. So you're right. If you drop down, and you'd end up playing the Flyers, if they hold that spot, you know, Tortorella's teams work hard, but I do think ultimately the lack of their, you know, the Rangers' special teams edge would probably could carry them through. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would definitely be a hard fought series. You know what I mean? Especially because you know how hard and balls to the wall that Flyers team is going to work. But, you know, so.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And now, I guess the biggest question for the New York Rangers is, Andy, Lindholm is gone. Shawnee Monahan is gone. Who the hell's next that the Rangers are linked to? I know you got some inside scoop, something.
I wish I did. You know, obviously we saw trade activity kind of kick off early this year with the Lindholm trade and then preceded by the Monahan trade to the Winnipeg Jets. And both teams gave up quite a bit to land those two players. So it's definitely a seller's market, which is why I think teams that are on the bubble, if they might be enticed to sell, if that makes any sense. So there might be more out there initially than you might have initially thought. Cause at first everyone's like, we're only we're 6 points out. We can have a good run. We can make it. But then
that's what
like,
I was going to ask you. When is the trade deadline?
This year, I'm going to just use Google instead of speculate.
NHL.
I assume it's Friday, March 8th is the trade deadline.
Okay. Well, I would say if I'm Drury, I don't do anything until at least February, like 25th. And that's only because like you want to weed as many teams out as possible. You know, during that span, you know, you got to hope that a team like I won't go to the East. Let's just go to the West hypothetically. But a team like the Nashville Predators, you know, lose another four or five and put themselves in a bad position where they, you know, might consider being sellers, knowing that they're not, even if they made the playoffs, they're not going to do much. God knows what the Arizona Coyotes and Seattle Kraken are going to look like. Calgary Flames have already, you know, made it known that they're going to be sellers. I don't know what other assets and what other contracts look on that team, but you know, Minnesota, they might still think that they have a chance. I don't know. Like a lot of these teams, I think need to be in a better position to be sellers. Even like a team like, St. Louis Blues is currently in a playoff spot, but if I'm them, I certainly, you know, try to trade some assets because these are teams that are clearly not going to win a Stanley Cup. They're not ready to win a Stanley Cup. And, you know, you might as well trade any, you know, assets that you have at the deadline, because if it is a seller's market, you're crazy not to jump in and, you know, gain some valuable assets back. So,
yeah,
you know, I don't know what the range, like, this is all just me, my hunch saying, You know, the New York Rangers probably have the best relationship realistically with the San Jose Sharks right now.
Yeah.
That's probably the number one team, I think, that the New York Rangers are going to have a big time trade with. And I think that's where you're going to get most of their assets. But any other team, man, I just don't know. Like maybe Anaheim, you know, would they target an Adam Henrique or?
Yeah. I mean, I think Henrique is right now a pretty.
Is he the next big ticket, you think?
It feels that way, I guess, right? I mean, at least as far as middle six scoring goes, you know what I mean?
He's got experience.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but like, is it me or is there just no buzz that the Ottawa Senators are looking to sell their assets? Like a guy like Tarasenko. Like no one's talking about where Tarasenko
I think it's assumed, but yeah, at the same time, it's like he hasn't exactly the season. Although I wouldn't say it's been a disaster for Tarasenko. It hasn't been it's been pretty underwhelming. Well, obviously
a guy on 1 year.
No, I know that team is underwhelmed, but yeah, no, I mean, you know, he's getting moved. So, but maybe, I don't know. He's a big family guy too, which is what I wonder about. If he's like, no, I know this team's going to pop. So, I mean, but that being said, he's only in 1 year. So he can come back and just stay in a hotel and say, hey, I'm going to go try to get a cup real quick and live in a hotel for a few months. And then, you know, but no, I mean, what, you know, I think the names you hear out there, obviously we spoke about, on the last podcast, how the Flyers sent that letter out basically saying, even though they're in a playoff spot, that it's not going to change their approach to the trade deadline. Like they had a plan coming to the season. They're pleasantly surprised with how competitive they've been, but that doesn't mean they're going to switch course because that would be a disaster. You know what I mean?
Right.
Which is smart. You know what I mean? Why don't you have your cake and eat it too? You know, obviously you have to deal with the disappointments of the players, right? Being like, well, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. We made the playoffs. And instead of getting us help, you're taking away from our roster. But yeah, it has to have been communicated to them that they're trying to be, it's not about just this year. It's about in general. And which is honestly smart. And if their players don't like it, you know, sorry to them. You know, just perform your best. You'll earn yourself a nice contract either here or somewhere else and whatever. But to that point, it's like, you know, Scott Laughton's name's been out there. You have to wonder if Garnet Hathaway wouldn't, you know, those are two guys that a lot of teams would look to just to reinforce. If they have ho-hum fourth liners, you know, you get those type of players. You know, Nick DeLaurier, I don't know if they would move on from. He is just such a, you know, a pain in the ass. He's just kind of, because they got to keep some of those guys for the Torts identity, but. You know, Nick Seeler is a pretty good defenseman for them. You know, he's a little bit older, but they could definitely move on from him. Mm-hmm. And I think teams like a lot, you know, teams like the Flyers and the Predators, like players like Tommy Novak, maybe might be. It's like a lot of those bottom six grindy guys. You know, you're
TD texted me yesterday and said, "What do you think it would take to get Sissons off
Sissons, yeah, called Sissons.
Yeah, Sissons off. This is tough for me. I got a big tongue. Sissons is a tough name for me to say. To get him off that roster, and I said, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I like the player. I just don't know what it would take. I mean, if you told me that it was going to take a first to get Sean Monahan off the Montreal Canadiens, I would have said like absolutely not. But
You know, Sissons, I assume he's probably over 30, you know, he's probably right there. But yeah, he's a pretty good player. You know what I mean? I would say he's a pretty well balanced. He's like an ideal third line center. You know, it's like he doesn't blow you away, but he's also like just does his role. You know, he's got a little sandpaper to his game. I think a team like Minnesota, who has a lot of prospects ready to jump up, and now that they're not in a play, like I hope the Rangers aren't one of them, but you know, Pat Maroon might find himself somewhere else. Brandon Duhaime, they could probably get, despite being a fourth liner, because he plays with an edge. I definitely think they could get something for him. You know what I mean? Those sorts of players always seem to find spots on teams. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And
just because they got some, they have, you know, they're heavier players that play with that sort of that game, you know.
Looking for a super offer for Super Bowl 58? DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. New customers can bet on the big game and turn $5 into $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 58 with code THPN. The crown is yours. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPE-NEW-YORK 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for a gambling problem by calling 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Yeah, and you know, the New York Rangers are in such a unique position that I really feel like they're not looking for like the big ticket item. We really are just kind of looking for, you know, ho-hum role players that maybe play with an edge, you know, pot close to 15 to 20 goals a year that can play bottom 6 minutes, you know, whereas, you know, I don't know, a team, not to say that like a team like, you know, the Winnipeg Jets might be looking for, you know, another big piece just to complement, you know, what they have right now. So again, I don't know what Drury's going to do, you know, because I do at the same time, I feel like he may be patient, but at the same time too, it's like his job may be on the line. So he might fucking do something big. You just don't know. My gut tells me that he'll stand by this core and probably doesn't want to do what he did last year and bringing in, you know, bigger names. And I think that would actually probably be the smarter thing. So, but you know, if you ask me, I don't hate bringing in a top line one right winger to play alongside Zibanejad, because I think you owe it to him to put you know, a legit bona fide, you know, first line right winger on that line with you know, arguably our top center. So yeah, so I don't know. I honestly don't know. Like, there's no pulse, I feel like, right now with the New York Rangers, other than the fact that it's a seller's market. We do have assets. We do have a first round pick. You know, and I feel like if Drury has the feeling that his basically career is done as the New York Rangers GM, that first round pick is gone. You know, you don't lay your reputation on the line and leave assets on the table.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But that being said, I think if that doesn't happen, then I think we might, maybe Drury might have more. Well, I think that signaled two things. One, Drury might have more of a shelf life than we thought, or at least might have more confidence from ownership than we thought. And two, it might have been said, if you do this, this is the last kick with this core, which means big changes next year. I mean, Zibanejad has a no movement clause, right?
Yes.
So he's not going anywhere, but
Kreider, it changes. His contract changes next year.
Yeah, so Kreider could be gone. You know what I mean? Trouba could be gone. You know, I mean, I think we already figure Ryan Lindgren's not going to be here. So they could make some major changes, major surgery on this roster.
Kako is probably gone.
Kako, yeah. So, and you know, I mean, for the most part, they have some good stuff going in Hartford right now. There's a lot of players that even it for lesser roles. I mean, Othman is actually today will be in the AHL All-Star game, which is today. But you know, he's had a pretty good season, not a world breaking, but you know, making the AHL All-Star team in your first year is pretty good. You know, he's the best goal scorer or one of the best goal scorers on that as, you know, one of the younger players in the Hartford Wolf Pack. Brett Berard is literally, I think, is probably their best player at even strength right now. You know, I think he's got some of the best underlying numbers for them. So he's a guy who I think, especially the way he's played in his last 10 or 15 games, has earned himself a call up at some point this season just for a look to see how he could be. Cause he's a guy, I think it's, you know, third line is not outside of his realm of potential. You know what I mean? Hell, he could. I mean, if all goes right, he could be a second line player. But
yeah, if you can't move away from this core, you're going to need those guys to fill in those spots.
Yeah, unfortunately, who had a cup of coffee with the Rangers? A big tall kid this season. Who was that? Edstrom, he's hurt right now. So, but, you know, based on how he performed, you could see him with the Rangers next year. So they could do some major, they could say, all right, we're transitioning. You know, we're going to take a step back, hoping it didn't work. We're going to have to take a step back, take one step back. So hopefully we can take two big steps forward. You know what I mean?
And to be honest with you, I don't think it's that big of a step back. Because what you're,
no, it's not. It's really not, to be like, honest.
You tell me the New York Rangers are without Trouba, with $8 million off the books, without Kreider, which is $6.5 million off the books. I would imagine Barclay Goodrow is probably part of that core that goes, which is $3.6 million off the books. And you bring in some of that younger talent and some free agent signings. You know, and you don't know, you know, Hedl, you don't, really don't know.
That's the thing, because either he's coming back.
$4 million off the books.
Yeah, it's, he either comes back, which is good for the Rangers. Hopefully he stays healthy, or he doesn't. But then you, that cap money is there. So, I mean, I personally hope he comes back and never has any concussion related symptoms again. I think that's what everyone would want. But if, you know, it's obviously not outside the realm of possibility that he is not going to be able to play hockey again. And that money comes off the, so that's a, the right, that would leave the Rangers with a lot of space. And I'm sure there's a lot of teams around the league, especially if their teams are going in other directions. You know, who's to say Philip Forsberg in Nashville is like, you know, we're probably not going to be competitive for a hot minute. So maybe it's worth taking my talents elsewhere. You know what I mean? So,
well, it, yeah, it's very interesting. The Rangers could walk away with $20 million in cap space, and I don't think any Ranger fan would miss really anybody, you know, because you still have the line that makes your team go. So Panarin, Trocheck, and Lafreniere would still be intact, and you're really, you know, addressing, maybe you get another top forward and another, you know, top defenseman. I mean, you're talking about over $20 million in cap space. And your roster is really not affected that much in terms of what, you know, performance, you know. Yeah, Kreider is probably the biggest hit in terms of, you know, stats, you know. But other than that, you would hope that, you know, some of these younger players would be able to get called up, and then you can make up that scoring with a bona fide, you know, you can put some real talent, you know, surrounding Mika, which would probably help his $8.5 million look not so terrible. So, especially 5-on-5. But yeah, I, there's a lot to be, you know, learned about this New York Rangers team, and not just from player standpoint, but from management standpoint, because I haven't really heard anything that, you know, other than us talking about it, that, you know, Drury's, you know, in, on the hot seat. I almost lean that he's probably not. And, you know, if he's not, and they're going to let him move forward, which I don't think is the worst thing in the world, because we all know what the problem is. The problem is, was coaching last year, and the, you know, the core is just not as good as you know, people projected it to be, or want it to be. And, you know, again, I'm just, I look at this team, and for me, it's a lot of easy fixing if you get rid of some of this core. So, you got anything else, Andy? Anything?
Not really. I mean, obviously there seemed to be a lot of buzz with the trades last week, but it's been pretty quiet until then. Obviously the All-Star game. I do think we, in the, maybe not this episode, but, you know, when we have more time to talk, we should talk about the NHL announcing the, or we can do it briefly now, the NHL announcing that in lieu of an All-Star game next season, there will be a Four Nations tournament, which is, you know, I believe it's what, it's Canada, USA, Sweden, Finland. Is that it?
I think so. I mean, they're leaving Russia.
Unless they're doing, they're going to do the same thing where they just take the best player. It's Canada, Finland, Sweden, and the United States. Yeah. You know, so, which is obviously interesting because we've wanted some best on best that actually means something, kind of like the World Cup of Hockey a few years ago, which was pretty cool. I think it was a, pretty much an overwhelming success. People still talk about it.
Now, is obviously, this an NHL event or?
It's an NHL event.
Okay.
It's the NHL Four Nations Face-Off. And the way it's, the league is marketing it, is as a it's an appetizer for the other thing they announced, in that the NHL and is back. Their involvement with the Olympics is back.
Yep.
NHLers will be allowed to participate in the 2026 and 2030 Olympics. I think the 2026 is in Italy. I don't know where I don't know if they've chosen 2030 yet, but I think it's in Milan, which is which would be pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, obviously that's huge news. The NHL back with the Olympics, because we've kind of been robbed. I thought we were never going to get Crosby and McDavid on the same team. We might now.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, and it'll be interesting to see the makeups of those teams in 2 years from now, because obviously you have USA, you have the rising and falling stars of players. Like Patrick Kane would have been a shoe-in if he, for the last few teams, but does he make the next Team USA? I don't know. I don't, probably not. But that doesn't mean USA is still not stacked with the Hughes brothers and Eichel and Matthews and Adam Fox and Charlie McAvoy. You know what I mean? So it's just, honestly, those sorts of things are so cool. It's very cool to, especially as an American, to get to be able to like root for those guys on your team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that was pretty cool. Do you have any immediate thoughts on that announcement, James?
Listen, man, I grew up, you know, playing, you know, God, like it was like Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey, but it was like the international, where, you know, you had, you know, the nations, you know, and I don't know. I just, the fact that it's been such a struggle over like the last decade of whether or not these players should be playing in it, you know, changing the tournaments to, you know, just to give us a little taste of it and not have the Olympics, it's just crazy to me. And, you know, I'm super excited that the players are going to be able to play in it. I want to see the best teams assembled in the world play against each other. And I think you're out of your mind if you don't think that the NHL players belong playing in the Olympics. I mean, these are the best players in the world, and I want to see them play. I mean, just think of like the line combinations. I mean, we could do a whole podcast, probably three podcasts worth of content, just talking about Team USA and the possible future lineups that they may have. And that's just exciting. And, you know, and I think the NHL hopefully is starting to get it, that they made a mistake and now it's time to, you know, really allow the other side of professional hockey. And I'm not saying that's professional hockey, but, you know, the other side of this, you know, coin to really blossom. And that's the, you know, international, you know, because that's how you really truly grow the game. It's not, you know, whether or not the Seattle Kraken make it to the Stanley Cup Finals or Vegas make it to the Stanley Cup Final, but, you know, getting to watch, you know, these countries play against each other and compete, and watching players play together that were sworn enemies or, you know, generational, you know, talents get to, you know, match up against each other or, you know, play with each other on a line is just as important to the game. So I'm super pumped. I can't wait for it. You know, and again, we'll probably just have a podcast over the summer where we talk about the future lineup of what a USA hockey team would look like. So, yeah. Other than that, Andy, I got nothing.
Yeah. I guess just other Rangers related news, I guess. A big weekend for New York Rangers prospect Gabe Perreault, who now finds himself in third in the entire NCAA as a freshman in scoring, which is pretty incredible. You want to talk about incredible season for a rookie. Gabe Perreault, is having one of those seasons. So, I can actually sort by points here. Yeah. Yep. He's in third behind two players from the University of Denver, Massimo Rizzo and Jack Devine, who are both juniors. And they've played 27 games. Perreault has only played 24 games. And yet he's only behind Jack Devine by 1 point with, you know, three less games played. And he's only 4 points behind Rizzo with three less games played. So is there a chance he you know, he's played one more game than Macklin Celebrini, who will go first overall, also a freshman for Boston University. But yeah, just watching him, I watched the UMass BC versus UMass Amherst game the other day. And again, has another 3-point night, has a goal and two assists. And, you know, obviously he has things he needs to work on, as do most of the players, freshmen on that roster. And even guys like Cutter Gauthier, you know, have stuff they need to work on. But it's just what he has, you cannot teach. He just puts himself in such good areas to be effective and score. He is a fit. He's incredibly efficient. And he's got, I think the amount of swagger he has to his game is underrated. He's always trying to create. He attacks when he has to, and he's not afraid to engage in board battles. Obviously, he doesn't always win, and he definitely needs to work on his explosiveness and his strength. But luckily, he's just he has things you can't teach. He knows how to get lost in coverage, which is very hard to do. He takes strange routes to the net, but you think, you're like, why is he going this way? Like, he'll be going in on a 3-on-2, like, and he'll just, he just basically creates relief valves for his linemates all over the ice so they can hold on to possession. He creates lanes. He'll like stop and just go in the opposite direction, and it'll kind of throw basically defenders off and be like, what is happening? Like, the rest of his teammates going one way, he's going another way. It creates a big pocket, and then he'll kind of cut across, and then he'll just kind of take a long berth, and he'll go right to the side of the net, and lo and behold, the puck went to the opposite board somehow, and then Will Smith or Leonard or some, or a defenseman will pass it to him, and he'll just slam it in like a yawning cage. And you don't realize he kind of orchestrated the whole thing, but it's just, you know, it was only in his hands for a second. Like, he backs his way in the zone, he bumps it to the boards, he just takes a weird route, goes to the side goal mouth, he gets it back, and he just stashes it in. And he just plays a way other players don't play. So he's, you know, the Rangers got such a gem in him. They were lucky he fell into their lap. You know, he does need to get stronger. He does lose some puck battles. You do hope to see a little bit more acceleration from him, or at least, you know, strength off the starting block. But sky's the limit when your hockey IQ is that high. And also, he's got excellent hands and he's a great passer. So, I mean, he's got 70 plus point potential in the NHL if he, as long as he can, you know, continue to build up his core stats. Because I think the way he thinks the game is already extremely advanced. As a freshman, college hockey seems pretty gosh darn easy for him. I mean, it helps having Smith and Leonard. Obviously, those three have some weird Sedin-like chemistry that they've always just had from playing together for so long. But yeah, really cool to see.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Voice Podcast. Be sure to follow us on X at Broadway Voice Pod, and please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.